Let's take our Bibles this morning, if you will, and turn to 2 Corinthians 13. If you don't have a Bible, we do have some in the pews in front of you. The Bible, 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. If you'd like to stand with us, we'll read just one verse here in 2 Corinthians. We'll be in a couple of different places this morning. 2 Corinthians chapter number 13. Just read one verse here. We'll have prayer and then get right into the message. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Notice, if you will, verse number 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 13. Look in verse number 4. For though he was crucified through weakness, yet he liveth by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God toward you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this special Sunday that we can gather together. Lord, we thank you that we have hope in our belief that what we believe is not just based on a myth or on a story. We thank you, Lord, that what we believe is based on a historical fact. And God, we thank you for the power of the resurrection. Father, I pray as we look in the Scriptures this morning that you may give us a message that will help us, that will give us some instruction, that will encourage us. Lord, maybe there's somebody here specifically that needs this message. God, I pray that you'd take these words and that you may apply them from the Scriptures to our hearts. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. You know, during the holiday time we see both the hand, it seems like, of the devil alongside of the hand of God with some of these holidays. For instance, Christmas, most of the time, is about Santa Claus and what the kids are going to get for Christmas. And then when you come along to Easter, it's about the bunny and the chocolate eggs and all that kind of stuff. But one thing that I think is good that the Lord has done with those things is that the whole world, and at least our country in particular, has to stop for just a minute. And a lot of people will acknowledge that there has something somewhere in the gray areas, somewhere way back a few thousand years, there's some connection to the Bible and to Jesus Christ. And although we know Jesus wasn't born on December 25th, the fact is we date our calendar by His birth. And although we know that the festivals that a lot of people celebrate in the springtime are not always in reference to the resurrection of Jesus, the fact is, Jesus Christ rose again from the dead around this time of the year. And that's a historical fact. And so I'd like to preach to you a little bit this morning about the power of God in the resurrection. As you see from this verse, He liveth, the Bible says, by the power of God. And if you will, I'd like you to flip back just a couple of books to Romans chapter number 1. Just make a left turn and come back, if you will. Romans chapter number 1, there are a couple of verses here. And we know that God is what we call omnipotent. God has all power. We know that Jesus Christ, when He was on earth, He manifested this power when He healed people, when He raised people from the dead, He cleansed the lepers, He gave sight to the blind. Jesus Christ performed miracles because of His power, and He had the power of God in His life. But how much more the power of God in His resurrection? Jesus said this in John chapter 10. He said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself." Listen to this. "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received from my Father." So when Jesus Christ rose again from the dead, He said, "I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again." There is power of God in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Think about somebody dead for 3 days and then coming back to life. The power of this resurrection. Look at Romans chapter 1, if you will. I'd like you to see this. Come down to verse number 3. Romans 1, 3. "Concerning His Son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness, by the resurrection from the dead." Notice a couple of things here. Verse number 3, He's made of David, of the seed of David, according to the flesh. When you trace the genealogy of Mary, His mother, it goes back to King David. when you trace the genealogy of his father, his father's God. He's the son of man on one hand. He understands what it's like to go through life and to work and to live and to suffer and to have troubles and trials. He's a man, but he's also the son of God. And he's declared to be the son of God with power by two things. One of them, by the spirit of holiness. You see, Jesus was a man unlike any other man. He wasn't like you and me in the sense that, you know, Jesus never committed a sin. Some of you think you're doing pretty good, but you know, sin goes a whole lot deeper than just the things you say or the things you do. Sin can go into the things you think. And the things that you have dreams for and maybe the lust of your heart. And Jesus never committed any sin. He was holy, something we're unfamiliar with. And so he's declared to be the Son of God. How do you know he's the Son of God? Well, he's holy. Nobody could convince him or convict him or put sin on him and say, you have sinned. Jesus Christ was holy. How do you know that? He came up from the dead. He didn't have to wait for the general judgment, the resurrection. Jesus Christ rose again from the dead. Death couldn't hold him. So he's declared to be the Son of God with power. I want to preach a little bit about this resurrection power. And I want us to understand this thing is a present reality. It's not just something we think about, oh, that was a mighty, amazing thing back when Jesus rose again from the dead. Jesus Christ is still alive today. And if you know Christ as your personal Savior, like the song we sang, well, I know He lives. Why? Because He lives in here. He's inside of me. Think about that for a minute. If you're saved, God is inside of you. That's an amazing thought, isn't it? Look in Romans chapter 1. Flip over, if you will, to verses 15 and 16. Look in verse number 15. He says, so as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also. Look in verse number 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The power of God, first of all, is for salvation. The power of God for salvation. The Bible says the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. You know, when we talk about being saved, we're talking about being saved from something. If you were saved from drowning, you would have been saved out there maybe in an ocean or out in a place where you were going under and somebody rescued you, somebody delivered you. So when the Bible uses that word saved in the spiritual sense here, we were saved from hell. That's what salvation is all about. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And the power of God is such that God's power can save a sinner who can't save himself. Somebody said this. Somebody said, religion is what men do to justify themselves before God. You know, I think that's true in a lot of cases. People, they put on their Sunday best. And look, I know a lot of you look really nice this morning. Amen. Some of you got your nice Easter dresses and your nice ties on, and I do have a new shirt on this morning, actually. Nothing wrong with putting on a new tie and coming to church in your Sunday best. But a lot of times, people just walk through the form of religion. Sometimes, as Baptists, we're just as bad as some of the other religions. We might not wear some type of idol or something around us, but we hold a Bible kind of like an idol in the sense of it's just part of what we do. We've bought into this form of religion to where we try to make ourselves look good on the outside so we can feel better about ourselves on the inside. That's a form of godliness. That's what men do oftentimes. Religion is what people do to justify themselves before God. Salvation is what God does for a sinner who knows he can't justify himself. So I came to Jesus Christ as a sinner. I knew that I had no power in and of myself. I knew that there's no way that I could take myself and clean up enough and live good enough and holy enough where I could go to heaven. And when I heard about the gospel of the grace of God, how that Jesus came down here and took my place on Calvary's cross and died for my sins, and that His power would give me a new life, I took Him at His word and I believed on Him. So, the power of the resurrection is, first of all, the power of God for salvation. The Bible shows it this way. It says, He turned us from darkness into the light. You see, darkness is not just a physical thing where you can't see. Darkness is spiritual. A lot of people can't see spiritually. They're blinded. Like the old song we sing, Amazing Grace. What does it say? I once was blind, but now I see. You see, I was in a dark world. I couldn't see, but now I've been saved. I've been taken out of darkness, and I've been translated into the light, into the kingdom of His dear Son. I've been taken from following Satan, and now I'm following God. I'm not living for this world. Now I'm living for another world. Amen. For heaven. You see, the power of God to turn a sinner around. You know, there are people in this church right now, if we had time, we could have a great testimony service. There are people in here that could tell you, and they wouldn't want to brag about or talk about maybe the past, but they could tell you there's a whole lot of other places they could have been this morning instead of in church. And had it not been for the power of God to save their souls and to turn their life around, they would still be headed in that very bad direction. I mean, how do you explain it? Look, I know I don't like to get in arguments with people, and I've learned that a lot of times if you convince somebody in the head, really, if you can convince them in the head, they can be convinced later on in the head as well. The problem is a heart problem. And the issue is an issue of faith, not intellect. You have to believe in your heart. The Bible says the fool have said in his heart there is no God. The reason you have atheists and agnostics is because of a heart trouble, not a head trouble. But with all the proof historically, all the proof scientifically, all the proof logically for the Bible and for the resurrection and for Jesus Christ being the way, the truth, and the life, for all that proof, the greatest proof is the testimony of the power of God in a sinner's life. How do you explain thousands of testimonies where people's lives have radically been changed from darkness to light? From living for themselves and living for sin and hung up in addictions and living for this world and just wickedness, and them to be able to turn from darkness and then live for Jesus Christ. How do you explain that? I'll tell you how you explain it. The power of God. Jesus Christ is alive. That's how you explain it. This isn't just some historical figure that we look back to and base a religion on. He's a living person. The power of God unto salvation, the power to save the sinner. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1, verse 5, who are kept by the power of God. You know, I believe that. I believe God keeps my salvation. So how do you know you're going to heaven? Because God said I was. That's how. The Bible says, this is the record that He hath given to us, eternal life. This life is in His Son. I have the record. God promised me eternal life, and the Bible says we are kept by the power of God. It's because of His power that I'm going to heaven. You say, well, preacher, you know, what if you don't live as good as you used to live? Let me go ahead and give you a little cue. I've probably committed more sins since I've been saved than before I was saved. So, are you a preacher? Yeah, I'm a preacher. But I got saved when I was young. I got saved when I was a kid. Now, how much sinning can you do before you're 7 years old? You see, you don't go to heaven based on sinning or not sinning. You go to heaven based on whether or not you've received Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. You see, the power of God is what keeps me saved. I have trusted my soul to the Lord Jesus Christ. I believed in Him. His power guarantees that when I die, the Bible says for the Christian to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. For someone who's not saved, the very moment they die, there's nothing. It's almost like gravity itself. You drop something, we just live this way. We don't even try to explain the laws of gravity and so forth. You drop something, you know it's going to fall. When a person dies without their sins forgiven, it's just as natural as the wind blowing. Their soul just drops into hell. But for a believer, the Lord Jesus Christ has shed His blood for them and it's been applied to them, and the power of God takes that soul, the Bible says, immediately into the presence of God. That's the power of God. The power of God keeps me saved. The resurrection power is good for salvation. But that's not all. I'd like you to turn over, if you will, turn over to Ephesians chapter number 6. Just take a right turn from Romans, pass the Corinthians and the Galatians, and get Ephesians chapter number 6. You know, we have power supply, and I don't know about you, but back when we had the little hurricane blow through and we lost power, you know, I'm sure I was like a lot of you here. Maybe I wasn't the only one. You know the power's out. The power's been out for a day, and you walk in a room and flip the light switch. Yeah, I don't know why you're expecting the light to come on. You know the power's off, and there you are flipping this thing. And we just take it for granted. We have power, turn it on. You know, you get ready to go to bed, turn the air down about 65, amen? And get some nice cool air. You got your power. You don't even think about where it comes from. I really don't care where it comes from. I'm paying the bill. Send me my power. Now, for a believer in Jesus Christ, we have the Holy Spirit inside. We sang the song about the Comforter. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit. And Jesus said in John chapter number 7 that after His resurrection, He would send the Comforter. He said that in chapter 14, the Comforter would come and abide with you forever. If you're saved, then you have the Holy Spirit on the inside. You have a power source on the inside of you. And I wonder sometimes if we just forget to plug in the cord. And some of you, your battery's done ran out. You know, you read your Bible, you know, 2 or 3 months ago, and you done run out of that. And since the last time maybe you've been in church or the last time you prayed, your battery source has gotten real low. So what we have to do as believers in Christ is we gotta plug in. We gotta recharge. We call it revival a lot of times in church. The Bible talks about revival in the Old Testament, reviving the saints. In other words, sometimes we get a little lethargic. Sometimes we get a little bit dead, if I can use that expression. And our power source is there, but we just don't get plugged in. We need to plug into the power. Look in Ephesians chapter 6, if you will. Look in verse number 10. He's talking about spiritual warfare, fighting the spiritual battle, because the Christian life is not always easy. Most of the time, there's a struggle, there's a battle, there's some type of spiritual obstacle. And if you're going to go up that hill, if you're going to fight that battle, you've got to have some power. Look in Ephesians 6, verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Notice what it did not say. Look at it again. Finally, my brethren, be strong in yourselves. No. There is a passage in the Old Testament where the Bible says David encouraged himself, but it doesn't stop there. It says David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Yeah, you need to encourage yourself sometimes. Sometimes you need to give yourself a pat on the back or a kick in the pants and get some instruction, some encouragement. Sometimes you need to plug into the power source. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. I have a power source. If you're saved, you have a power source. The way that you can live godly in Christ Jesus, the way that you can have victory over the sins of this world, the problems and the struggles that tempt you, that allure you, that try to get you off track, the way that you can have victory over that is through the power of God. Not through the power of yourself. You know, if you get around the right kind of people, you can find people to believe all kinds of things. If you want to do wrong, you can find somebody that will convince you that doing wrong is right. Can I get a witness for that one? There's a lot of people that believe all kinds of things, and if you talk about something long enough, and with the right kind of people, and with the right influence, and so forth, you can get things all talked around where down is up, and up is down, and white is black, and black is white. The Bible says in Isaiah, "Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil." So you have to be real careful about that. That's why we go to the power source and we go back to here. We go back to what makes us authentic. And in a world where churches are trying to be more and more contemporary to draw in people, I believe we need to go back to the power source. So what do we need? We need the Bible. We need the Lord Jesus Christ. He's our power source. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. The power of His resurrection is power for salvation, but it's also power for sanctification. What does that mean? That means you need to live right. You don't live right in order to go to heaven. You live right because you are going to heaven. Let me say that again. You don't live right in order to go to heaven. You know, the Bible says we're saved by grace through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works. You don't live right in order to go to heaven. You live right because you are going to heaven. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you're not going to be tempted to do wrong. And just because you're saved doesn't mean you're not going to slip up sometimes. So you mean you have a church full of hypocrites? Yeah. Amen. And you just walked in, so that means we have one more. Amen. We're all hypocrites in that sense. We all slip up. We all mess up. But if you're saved and you want to live for Christ, then you've got to plug into the right power source. You've got to walk in the power of His might, not in your own strength. Because if you go in your own strength, you're going to fail. That's why the Bible says, I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. That's a good verse to memorize out of Philippians chapter 4. I can do all things through Christ. Another verse in Colossians says, we are complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. I'm complete in Christ. So I don't have to be intimidated. I don't have to be put down. I don't have to be humiliated. I'm complete in Christ. Yeah, I might have messed up. I might have slipped down, but I can ask Christ to forgive me. The Bible says the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin. I'm complete in Him who is the head of all principality and power. He's my power source. So I plug into Him. I say, Lord, I can't do this. Lord, I'm facing this tribulation. I'm facing this trial. Have you ever gone through a real dark time in your life, maybe where something bad happened and that kind of flipped you upside down as far as your faith is concerned? Maybe you had all these questions. Maybe you had, instead of a blessing, maybe things turned into bitterness a little bit. And maybe you began to doubt God and question God. Maybe your walk with Christ wasn't where it was supposed to be. Has that ever happened? I'm complete in Him who's the head of all principality and power. I can do all things through Christ. You can't do it on your own. You've got to plug into the power source. He's the power for sanctification. We're weak. He is strong. He's power. His power is greater than the devil. His power is greater than the world. The Bible says, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. Well, preacher, you just don't know the temptations. No, but He does. Preacher, you just don't understand my family. No, but He does. Preacher, you just don't understand my job condition. Yeah, but He does. Is the Bible a lie? Did He not say I can do all things through Christ? Plug into the power source. He is your power for sanctification. Without Him, Jesus said to the disciples, without me you can do nothing. You know, you try on your own and try on your own. And some of you, the problem is, you know, a lot of times what our downfall is some of our talents and abilities. The more talented and gifted a person is, oftentimes the harder they're going to fall because they so easily fall back on their own talents and abilities. Like, well, I've just handled this before. I've taken all this pressure before. I can do this. I can push through. And they're like they just kind of push through things. And sometimes they've been able to get through that. And what that teaches them is they can rely on themselves instead of God. But I'm not trying to be mean to you this morning, but there's going to come a time in your life where God's going to put you in a place where you're going to have no control whatsoever. And you're going to have to depend on His power, which we should be doing all along anyway. But we get so wrapped up in ourselves and we think, and then you think it's actually you just doing all the work. And when we get to heaven, you know what you're going to find out? That it was actually Him giving you the power to do it. You're like, man, I did pretty good. I was like, yeah, that's pretty good. That was me doing it. You know what Paul says in Galatians 2? He says, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. The things that you do right as you serve Christ, that's the power of God in you doing those things. So we can't back up and take credit. If God just turned you loose and let you do what you wanted to do, you know what would happen? You would slide down that perpetual hill of backsliding. You need the power of Christ for sanctification. Turn back to chapter 3 of Ephesians. Look at this one. We need the power of Christ not just for salvation, the power of the resurrection for sanctification. Look in chapter 3. Let's take this thing a step further in verse number 7. The power of God for service. Paul says this in verse number 7, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of His power. In the same chapter, come down to the end of it. Look in verse number 19. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto Him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen. Why do you do what you do? Why do you serve Christ? How do you serve Christ? Why do we do it? We do it because of Jesus. How do we do it? We do it by the power of Jesus Christ. If you start serving in your own flesh, if you start serving in your own strength, your sources are going to be depleted eventually. Eventually you'll come to the end of yourself and you'll have no more strength to do it. Or it'll be like this. You get so tied up into who you're serving and everything, instead of being about the Lord, it becomes about the people. Right? Humanitarian efforts are great. It's good to try to help people. But do you help people just for the sake of helping people? If you do that, eventually you're going to be disappointed, because sometimes the people you help, they don't want your help. You ever try to help somebody? You ever try to pick somebody up off the ground and didn't want you to pick them up? Some of you kids in here, y'all probably practice that thing, trying to run from somebody. Man, that's hard. It's hard to help somebody when they don't give you a little help. And so if everything just becomes about the people, the Bible said God so loved the world, yes. But we have to realize we have compassion on others and we want to help others because of what Jesus did. It's got to be the focus on Him, that in all things He might have the preeminence. If your service is just about people, you will be sorely disappointed eventually. It's got to be about Him. And then number two, the power's got to come from Him. Because in our own strength, we're going to be depleted. Power for service. How do you explain people that serve Christ for year after year after year after year? How do you explain that? God gives power to minister. And finally, I want to say this, if you will, turn over to, take a right turn. Keep turning to the right. Go to 2 Timothy, if you will. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Then we're going to look in 2 Corinthians. Power of God for salvation, power of God for sanctification. You need to understand that difference. A lot of people confuse the two. They think, well, I've got to live clean if I'm ever going to be saved. Well, you're never going to be saved until you realize you're not clean. You trust Christ first for salvation and then let Him clean you up with sanctification through His power. But until you get saved, you don't have the power source. And you'll never be able to serve Christ until you plug into that power source, the power of His resurrection. You ever read the book of Acts? The book of Acts details what the apostles did after the resurrection. And man, they set the world on fire. Man, just a handful of guys, they started preaching everywhere. They began to go around, and it started in Jerusalem and went to Judea, went to Samaria. Then it began to spread. Paul the Apostle, he wrote a lot of the New Testament. He began to go out as a missionary, and the gospel began to spread just from those guys, the handful of men. 500 people saw Jesus Christ when He rose again from the dead during that 40-day interval. And those people began to preach, and the gospel began to spread. And God used those people, just common, ordinary people, and He turned the world upside down. Here we are today, humanly speaking, from that. So how can we ever be effective? How can we ever serve? It's going to have to be God's power. That's the only explanation. You can't explain it any other way. And finally, I want to say this about the power of God. Look in 2 Timothy 1, and then we'll look in 2 Corinthians. First of all, the power of God for suffering because of Christ. 2 Timothy 1. Look down, if you will, in verse number 8. We'll back up to verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God. God hath not given us the spirit of fear. I will say this. The Scripture speaks of the fear of the Lord. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. There is a healthy fear of God that we should all have. I mean, if you were to walk out this afternoon, the sun's out, the clouds are not out, so that's a good thing. You walk out, you can't even look at the sun, it'd burn your eyes up in just a matter of seconds. God just made that. The Bible says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You need to understand God's a whole lot bigger than you. And the second thing you need to understand is God hates sin and God will punish sin. So I don't know if I believe that or not. Well, look at the crucifixion. Look what sin did to an innocent man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Sin will betray you like Judas. Sin will deny you like Peter. Sin will sell you out like it did with those 30 pieces of silver. Sin will take an innocent man and hang him on a cross and make fun of him and mock him. That's the end of sin. And what happens when Christ laid down His life on the cross? He fell under the judgment and the wrath of God. So I don't know if I believe all that. The Bible says there's a hell. And the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. The fear of the Lord's a healthy thing. It's a healthy thing to be afraid of stuff. I was talking about plugging in these sockets, you know. I'm not going to stick my finger in a light socket. I have a healthy fear of electricity. I've done a few things for Brother Howard here, and you know, he's a big-time electrician, does all this kind of stuff, and man, he just goes in there, doesn't flip the power off or nothing. I'm like, man, he knows which wires to touch and not touch. I'm just kind of standing back from him. Man, I am scared of that stuff. That's a healthy fear. There's nothing wrong being a scared. I'm not going to walk out in the interstate, just start walking down the interstate in the middle of the road. I'm afraid of that. There's a healthy fear of some things you ought to be afraid of. God says He's not given us a spirit of fear. So what happens is that fear ought to change into love. He said, how does it change into love? Because you see that, yes, God's holy and God must punish sin. Why is that, by the way? God must punish sin because God is a good God. And God's a holy God and a just God. And He is a God of love. And you can't have a good God without a God that punishes sin. It just doesn't work that way. You say, well, so-and-so's a good judge. I think we need to put him on the courts and we need to vote him in and so forth. Well, if that means he's a good judge, that means people that do wrong, He's going to punish them. Well, I just can't believe he would be he's just doing right. He's upholding justice. God is a good God and will uphold justice. The song Amazing Grace I made an allusion to earlier, the verse says, 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. So the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I realize if I don't trust Christ as my Savior, I'm going to fall under the judgment of my sins. So when I turn to Jesus and accept His love, that's where God's love is at Calvary, then the verse right here, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Now I can experience the love of God because I don't have to be afraid of God because I'm on His side. I've received His gift of everlasting life. The power of God, and Paul mentions in verse number 8, suffering. He mentions being a partaker of the afflictions according to the power of God. Have you ever been mistreated? Have you ever done something right and got it in the neck because of it? In other words, you did right and you got in trouble for it. The further that we go in our society, we're going to begin to see these things. Where you try to do the right thing, the moral thing, and people make fun of you and ridicule you. And even laws will be passed against morality. We're beginning to see that. Paul says, if you're a partaker of the afflictions, back in the first century, you have to understand, Christians, when they would make a stand for Christ, many of them were persecuted and some of them put to death. Now turn over one more place. I'm about to wrap it up here. Look in 2 Corinthians, if you will. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The power of God gives you victory to go through that. You know, a lot of the people, as they were tortured, and even today, there's a lot of countries, Muslim countries and different places, where Christians were persecuted. And in those countries, a lot of times, you'll read stories of how these people are being tortured and persecuted, but yet at the same time, they pray for the people that are perpetrating those crimes. They have a power beyond anything I have. Somebody pushes me, I'm ready to push them back. Especially if somebody starts attacking my family. Then that selfishness comes in that I want to get in your face because you got in my face kind of thing. But you read about the power of Christ on people where they are praying for the people that are torturing them. That's beyond normal power. Look over here in 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 12. Paul is asking God to take away this pain that he has. He calls it the thorn in the flesh, verse number 7. Verse number 8, he says, "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me." And he said, verse number 9, unto me, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." Suffering because of the curse of this world. We're not always going to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Amen. Some of you, you begin to go through some changes in life and you get a little bit older and the old Arthur comes to visit. You get that arthritis and you get those other things and maybe diseases and different things come in people's lives. And the suffering comes. And the troubles come. You know what Paul says? First of all, he says, God, please take this thing away from me. And I think that's definitely a good prayer to pray. When you have a trouble in your life, the first thing to do is look up. No matter what it is, look up in prayer. And Paul does that and he says, God, will you take this thing away? And God says, no, but I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll give you grace as you go through it. And how does he get that grace? He gets it by the power of Christ. And you can't really explain it. You say, well, preacher, I don't know what's going to happen if I have to go through this or have to go through the other thing. Well, just hold your horses here. If God says He'd give you the power to get through it, He'll give you the power to get through it. If you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have that power source. And it's the power in suffering. Some of you, if God was to pull back the pages of the time and show you what's going to happen in the next 2 or 3 years in your life, it might make you crazy. Aren't you glad you don't always know the future? Amen. I'm glad I don't know when I'm going to die. It might be tomorrow. I don't want to know that I'm going to die tomorrow. If I'm going to die tomorrow, I wouldn't be able to enjoy my ham this afternoon. The Lord don't tell us all those things. We're to live by faith, not by sight. And sometimes we go through life, and as a believer in Christ, we have the power source that He will give us the grace to go through that trouble and trial. You know what? He's going to fix all of this one day. I've read the end of the book. He says in the book of Revelation, He'll wipe away all tears from their eyes. There shall be no more death. You know, death is going to be a thing of the past. I believe countless ages in eternity, we'll be sitting out there talking. And we'll say, somebody will mention the word death. You'll say, what death? Do you have a dictionary? What is that? We won't even know what it is. He's going to wipe away all tears, all sorrow, all sin, all sickness, all suffering, all separation. Even Satan himself will be gone.
Amen.
No more curse. But until then, what do we need? We need some power. We need the power of His resurrection. Some of you this morning, you're kind of like the lady was. Her husband had kind of give her these instructions. She had one of these old beater-up cars, like some of us have. And some of you, you know your little intricate details, what you have to do with your vehicles, you know. Some of you have certain windows you probably can't let down because if you do, they won't come back up. Especially if you have a Dodge, amen. This lady, her husband kept telling her, look, if the car doesn't start, you just get out and you wiggle the cable on the positive terminal. Just wiggle that a little bit and then it'll start. And she kind of got used to that. A few times that had kind of happened to her where she had to get out and she'd wiggle it and it'd crank up. And one day she was at a place and the car wasn't starting. So she got out and she opened up the hood and a guy come walking up. He says, ma'am, can I help you? She says, oh, well, yeah, I got this problem here. And she said, and she jumped back in. She says, if you just wiggle that terminal there, I can, it'll crank up because that's what my husband told me to do. He goes, what do you mean? He goes, it's loose here. Hold on just a second. She goes, no, just wiggle the... He goes, ma'am, I'm trying to tell you, I've got some tools here. I can fix this. All I have to do is tighten it up, and it'll be fixed. Well, all he said to do, I have to just wiggle it every time. You know, that's kind of how a lot of Christians are. It's just like, instead of fixing and going to the problem where the problem is and getting the thing fixed where you're connected and where you're plugged in, you don't have to keep getting out and wiggling it. Some people show up to church just so they can wiggle the power a little bit. Get a little bit of power going there. You have a power source. If you're saved, you need to plug into that and realize the power of Christ is in you. You can do all things through Christ. You can live for Jesus Christ. It's not just for somebody else. So, well, I've made too many mistakes. You know what? God's speciality is revival and repentance and renewal. That's God's speciality. He likes to take somebody that's made a mess of things so He can make a good thing out of it. He can take your messed up life and He can turn that thing completely around. He's done it for millions of people. He can do it for you. If you're here and you've never been saved before, you've never trusted Christ as your personal Savior, you need to get into this power source. So I just have a problem. I just don't know if I can believe. No, your problem's not a head problem. Your problem's a heart problem. mean, you can't logically, systematically deny the miracle of that book. All these prophecies about Jesus Christ, they all come true. I'm talking about specifics. There's plenty of proof. The Bible speaks of the resurrection as many infallible proofs. The problem's not a logical, intellectual thing. The problem is a heart problem, because you look down the road and you think, well, I don't want to be a hypocrite, and I want to live this way, and I want to enjoy this kind of sin, and I can't give this up. Look, you need to turn from your sin and just turn to Jesus. And don't be so tangled up and tied up with that. You need to turn to Him before it's too late. Because there is coming a day of judgment. And without the Lord Jesus Christ, without that power, you won't be able to behold Him in glory like we sang about. You'll see Him on the wrong side. You'll see Him as the judge and not the Savior. You see, I've trusted Christ as my Savior, so I'm saved. If my body dies, if I die, I go absent and be the body, absent for the body, present with the Lord. My body goes in the tomb. But there's coming a resurrection day. And it speaks of the power of His resurrection. If the Spirit of Him that raised up Christ from the dead dwell in you, He shall quicken your mortal bodies by His Spirit that dwelleth in you. My body will come up, and I'll be with Him. That's the promise I have because of this power. If you've never experienced that power, why don't you receive Christ today? You know, this is a great day to trust Jesus as your Savior. Maybe you've never understood the gospel. Maybe you haven't understood the fact that Jesus shed His blood for your sins. That what is required of you is faith. That's it. God doesn't say, I require you to spend so many hours in church. I require you to do these sacraments and do these rituals. That's not what God says. God says, I just want you to believe on me. You take me as your Savior. That's what God says. Jesus said, come unto me, all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. You can receive Christ as your personal Savior, and you can have the power of the resurrection inside of you. Have you been struggling with sin? And it bothers you that you don't have the victory over that stuff? You're not going to be able to have that on your own. You have to have the power of Christ. You've tried everything else. Why don't you try Jesus?